Hi, welcome to Lambert Park Church. Our vision is life with God for the world. Our mission is to invite everyone to follow Jesus with us through redemptive community, intentional discipleship, and everyday mission. We're so glad you're here. Stay tuned for the podcast coming right up.
All right, my name is Scott. I'm one of the pastors here. And if you get the email on Thursday, or you just follow Lambert on Facebook, I don't know, something. This Thursday, we put out a note saying this morning is going to be a prayer meeting. And the reason for that is a few weeks back, we were finishing our study in Ephesians. And we read these words, Ephesians 6, 18, the end of the armor of God text. And Paul says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fiercely make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. And it struck me recently that those are words not just for us to understand and say amen to, but they are an instruction for us to follow. We don't pray together as a community. We don't do corporate prayer a lot. Most of us pray by ourselves. Most of us pray by ourselves in silence. And that's great. I'm no shade on that. I pray most of my prayers by myself. That's just life, right? But as we read the New Testament, as we read the scripture, the Old Testament, God describes his temple as a house of prayer. A place where people will come to seek his face. The New Testament, the Spirit is given to the followers of Jesus, and they're breathed into a living community, and out of that, they devote themselves to four things, to the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. That's what Acts 2:42 says. Right after Pentecost, the Spirit fills the followers of Jesus. Many are led to Jesus through repentance and faith, and then they devote themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and prayer. And as a congregation, we come together and we devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching, and almost every Sunday we open up God's word and we teach from it. And regularly we find ways to cultivate fellowship. And regularly we share in the Lord's Supper and we center ourselves on what Jesus has done, what God has done in Jesus, in his death and his resurrection, the giving of his Spirit. But we don't often make space, other than that brief moment when someone like Gary gets up and leads us in corporate prayer, to just stop and pray together. And we have an election tomorrow, and we have a world that's here today that needs prayer, all sorts of things. We have some issues in the life of our church that we need to pray into, and we want to invite us to pray into. And so I said in the email this week, it's going to be a prayer meeting, because I wanted to give you a heads up, because you have a role today. And I feel a little squirrely coming into this morning, because it's one thing when the pastor has a message completely scripted, you kind of know what to expect, and I know what to expect. But today, this is different. This is a potluck. This is, we're all bringing something into this. So I'm going to have each of you stand up and recite a prayer. Just kidding. Fear not. Fear not. I think it's worth acknowledging that we don't often pray together, and we often pray our prayers in silence. And so corporate prayer feels terrifying for some people. I'm not going to force you into something really bizarre or terrifying. You might feel uncomfortable. That's okay. But no one has to pray in front of the person beside them. No one has to. We're invited. There's so much I want to say, but I want to lead us into prayer. So let me just throw out two thoughts as we enter into this. One is, I think we often think about prayer like another thing on our list. And so when we talk about praying, for many of us, it's just another thing on the list, and we often don't get to that part of the list. It feels like another stone in our backpack, another weight, another pressure. But in the grace of God, prayer, instead of being, needing to be another weight and stone in the backpack, it's actually the place where we bring all the stones of our life to Jesus, the one who cares for us. We cast our cares on him. We bring him a world that he's sovereign over, and we seek him for the things that are on his heart and that are on our hearts. And so I want to invite you into the grace of prayer today, not the extra work of prayer, but but the grace of prayer. I want to take us in three directions. Yeah, Ross, you can go to the next slide there. Thank you. I jumped ahead and the Lord's Prayer. I want to put this prayer is going to be up in front of us most of the next half an hour. And off and on with the different focuses we come to. And I just want to put this prayer in front of us because when the disciples of Jesus, the first followers of Jesus, walked with Jesus, they saw him and knew him to be a man of prayer. Their rabbi, who they were learning life from, sought God all the time in prayer, slipped away to prayer, prayed in their presence. And at some point they came to him and said, would you teach us to pray? And this is the prayer he taught them. We find it in the Gospel of Luke. We find it in its fullest version in the Gospel of Matthew, in the midst of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6. And this prayer, I think I've been a follower of Jesus since I was a kid, in bits and pieces, right? But it was in my 20s that I encountered the Lord's Prayer as a gift to me, a school of prayer, and wondered why I hadn't learned it before. I don't know, maybe I just wasn't listening. Maybe it was taught and I wasn't listening. That happens, right? But this prayer has within it multiple petitions. And these petitions take us into the core prayers of our lives. The prayers aim towards the Father, who is sovereign over all things. That's what in heaven means. He reigns from the heavens over all things. And the aim of the prayer is that second bold prayer, on earth as it is in heaven. When we pray, we are seeking for the Father's kingdom as it is in heaven to be done on earth. For God's will as it is in heaven to be done on earth. For God's provision as it always is in his realm to be done here. For protection, for deliverance, for forgiveness. And so that's what, it's not another slide, but all these unbolded parts are the petitions. Hallowed be your name. God be glorified. Be revealed for who you are through this situation, this mess. If you don't know what to pray for about something in your own life or today, pray that prayer. God, somehow in this mess, reveal who you are. Somehow in this relationship, reveal, hallowed be your name, God, reveal who you are. Your kingdom come. Pray that prayer. God, I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray for Israel, for Gaza, for the Palestinians. I don't know how to pray for Ukraine and Russia and Zelensky and Trump and our political leaders and tomorrow's election. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done, not mine, not theirs, yours. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, we have needs to get through this day, body and soul. Give us this day what we need to get through the day. And notice all these prayers from here on out are us language. Our Father, give us, forgive us. So this prayer pulls us into praying for others too, right? So it's not just give me this day what I need, it's give us. So who's in your us? And forgive us our debts, because we always need forgiveness, yes? Could I have the one person who needs forgiveness in this room stand up? No, we all need forgiveness, right? That prayer relates to all of us, not just you. Or not just them. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. That have part is big because it's Jesus calling us into being a forgiving people, not just a forgiven people. So as we pray that prayer, Jesus, help me to forgive them. Help me to realize where I haven't forgiven. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That's a weird one, right? Jesus, why would Jesus lead us into temptation? He doesn't. But we've talked about this before. The word temptation in Greek also means testing. And God does give us challenges, opportunities that are hard, and he seeks to use them for our good. And the enemy seeks to turn them into a temptation, a means of our downfall. So when we pray that prayer, we're saying, God, take this chaos or this challenge that I'm in and use it for your good in my life. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Cycling back really to your kingdom, your will, in this, in me, in us, there. Bless you, Father and Mother. Every time a kid in church freaks out, we gotta learn to pray, bless them. Bless them, Lord. Because there's shame, there's embarrassment, right? Bless them. So we're gonna start just with you. You can leave this slide up, Ross. I just want to invite us, we're going to pray through three themes today, but before we do that, I want to invite us to just pray, take a minute, and let's just close our eyes. Unless you're about to fall asleep, then keep them wide open. Stand up if you have to. But I just want you to scan, just think about the last few days or the last week. Where is there a situation, a person, an opportunity, something that probably needs prayer? Maybe you're thinking about the Filipino community in Vancouver and here who are grieving the incident last night in Vancouver where someone drove straight through a Filipino street party. Yeah, it's all over the news. Killed multiple people, and there's just insanity to it. And so there's people waking up into today, like you, hearing that news, going, Lord, what's going on? So pray for those people. Maybe it's about the election tomorrow. What is it? I'm going to step away here. But I'm just give you like 3 minutes to just name a name in your heart. Hold a person or a place or a situation before the Lord and pray a few of these prayers. And you can be elaborate if you want in your heart, or you can just say, Lord, for them, glorify yourself. Your kingdom come, your will be done, okay? So we're going to be still for 2 minutes here. I got a timer on my watch. Pray your own prayers. We'll start here. All right, with whatever situation is still in your heart or those people you just prayed for, let's say these words together. Let's say this prayer together that Jesus has taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. If you are someone who would like to pray more and you never know what to pray, take a screenshot of that on your phone and just pray it. Let it lead you into prayer when you start your day or in the midst of your day, and let those prayers just send you running for whoever it is in your life or situations where provision is needed or reconciliation is needed or protection is needed or deliverance is needed. All right, I'm going to lead us into three prayer focuses. Foci. That sounds wrong. All right, we're going to pray into three things. Our mission, our call to love our neighbors, and something very specific. Second, our ministry to one another, our call to make disciples here in the body, to represent Jesus and to help one another learn and lean into and find life in Jesus. And the third thing is going to be to pray for our leaders in this season, because we're in a season of transition. Therese ended her role with us, so some of us have a job and a half, and we have many things going on, and we need to pray for God's grace in this and our ministry in it and discernment of what's next for us. And I'll have Daniel Johnson from the chair of our board of elders to come and lead us in that. So the first thing I want to invite us to pray for is to pray about this conversation we're having these days, an initiative we're exploring about opening a Living Edge market here on our property as a church. Just before the pandemic, Living Edge is a ministry, oh, I have it written down. Living Edge works in collaboration with the Food Share Network, Mustard Seed Food Bank, and Salvation Army to secure food from grocery stores and other food providers that are then distributed in free food markets. 7 free food markets across the CRD to food insecure individuals and families. And let's be honest, this is a real need, probably for some of us right here and many of our neighbors, people who live in the rental suite downstairs, students that are in our neighborhood. It's very easy to hide the fact that we have financial need, and sometimes you cannot feel able to afford to buy produce or things like that. And that's what this market is all about. And they're all across the city, mostly, almost exclusively, hosted by churches and led by the Christian people serving together, and then friends and neighbors who join in because they just think this is awesome. Central Baptist downtown has one, Gateway Church in Royal Oak, their Church of Our Lord downtown, Harborview Church in Esquimalt, Open Gate Church in Langford, and then in Central Saanich, a bunch of our folks from a small group out on in Central Saanich, a bunch of years ago said, hey, we can be a part of this. And so they rallied together a bunch of people from four other churches. And so there's one out in Central Saanich that has on its banner Lambert Park Church and a whole bunch of other churches, which is awesome. And then there's one over at UVic that is struggling to survive. And we, just before the pandemic, we reached out to Living Edge and asked, could we host one? Because there was one over at Emmanuel Baptist, just on the other side of UVic, that was closing. But at the time, they couldn't source enough food to make it work. And in this last season, Chris Raper, Chris, can you stand up for a second? Chris has been praying, and Arlene too, yeah, that's true. Praying and dreaming and wondering, could Lambrick do one here? Would this be God's timing? You can sit down. Thank you, Chris. Would this be God's timing for us to rally some people together and putting it together? There's lots of questions, lots of logistics, but also just, is it just Chris's idea and Arlene's idea, or is this God's timing, God's purpose for us? And there's been a lot of beautiful, surprising encouragement about this. And we've been promoting this and talking about it. There was a gathering a month and a bit back in the cafe after a church, and something about 40 people showed up, and more people have expressed interest since then. So we have a discernment team that's come together. Chris, JC Lee, Janet Anderson, Tara DeLayu, and a few others have come together to wrestle through some of the practical questions, talk with our staff and our building use, and keep exploring and praying. And I want us to pray, because friends, there are so many good things we can do in life, and we all know it. We get flyers in the mail, we get emails from good organizations doing good things. All of us, none of us can do all the things, right? And I've heard it said, one of my mentors in discernment said, sometimes it is the many good things that get in front of the one thing that God is asking us, or the best thing that God is asking of us. And it feels like this is something God is calling us to. There's a growing sense. I think Chris feels it. I think I feel it. I think many are feeling like this, but there are some pieces still needed. And we need to pray for someone to be the driver, the champion, the coordinator of this, or a co-coordinator of this. Doesn't mean they have to be at everything and do everything, but they be a part of that connection point between Living Edge organization and us, and cheering on what's going on. We need team leaders. It's going to be something that would happen once a week, probably Tuesday late in the day, around 5 or early evening, out here, likely. And it's going to happen for a few hours. There's some setup. The event happens in about an hour and a bit, hour and a half total, and then some cleanup. But it takes people that will commit. We'll be there every second Tuesday. We'll be there every third Tuesday. And we want to see teams come together. So we would need people to jump in, because this can't just be four people who kill themselves to make it happen. We need volunteers to jump in to make this doable and enjoyable. And then the food. Living Edge needs provision so they can bring us food, so that we can pass on to our neighbors. So I want to get you to break into groups, okay? Turn to people around you. If you don't know them, well, that's okay. Join with some people, okay? And I'm going to have you start by saying your name, even if the person beside you is your bestie. Unless it's just the two of you, and then really you should know each other's names. But let's just turn to each other and say our name, okay? Because there's someone who doesn't know it, and just remind them. I'm Scott. You could say it slowly if it's like a Lauren. It's Lauren. It's Lauren. And April, right? Say it clearly so they catch it. If you need to say, can you say that again? And then just pray. These are the things I want us to pray for God's provision of a coordinator in this next soon, for some leaders to step in and say, I'll take one of the weeks. For God's provision of volunteers as we build this, and for the food. I'm going to give you 5 minutes. And someone pray for one of these things. Someone pray for this. Do not be long and verbose. No sermon prayers. Okay? Keep it simple. And let's pray. If you're done, you can say it with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Man, I'm just struck as we just prayed for those things. You can leave the slide there. So we are praying into something that potentially is an answer to some people who are, whether they say it or not, are feeling, God, I don't know how I'm going to provide for my kids. Right? There are people praying, give us this day our daily bread. And us being a part of this in the coming season could be how we participate in Jesus' answer of that prayer. When Jesus' kingdom, when Jesus comes to town, people have all they need, which means we're also praying. We're praying and seeking to be a part of your kingdom come, your will be done. God's people being generous, serving others, right? When Jesus reigns in our lives, we do not hoard what we have. We open our doors and we say, come in. Let's share this. Let's eat this meal together. You don't have enough? Let's break this bread. Some people are in this place of not having all they need because of debts. And I don't, financial, yes, but also maybe relational. Maybe someone's betrayed them. Maybe someone's walked out on a relationship as a parent or a spouse or a loved one and hasn't provided what they're supposed to provide. And we get to be a part of that, the kingdom showing up. I love this prayer. It takes us so many places. Okay, second, movement two. Thank you for praying, friends. Movement two. Our mission as a church, if you look at the website or ask me, most people don't remember it. That's okay. I don't care if you have it memorized or not. I care that we're living it as a community, that we're praying for it as elders and leaders, as staff, that this drives us. It says to embrace and invite everyone to follow Jesus with us in redemptive community, intentional discipleship, and everyday mission. Those are the pieces. And with that, in the midst of that, there's so much we could say, but our longing is that we would be a community and we'd be people and we would find ways to rub shoulders and open the table for others to encounter Jesus through our life together. That people who are with us would learn to live in Jesus, to be discipled, not just to get baptized and then be abandoned, but to have some people come and lock arms with them and help them learn to pray and to seek and know and follow Jesus. And then in that, that people would experience God's family. And I'll tell you, as a pastor who has an email address publicly available online, and all you, most of you know my name, though I might not know yours, but I do know many of them, many of your names. I get emails all the time, and people come and talk to me and express something to the effect, and this happens all throughout the year, every year, all through the years of my pastoral life, saying, hey, we're new here, and we'd love to find some companions in the journey. Or, hey, I'm just making sense of Jesus. Is there a place here where I can ask questions or journey with some others who could process with me? Or I'm a brand new Christian, or we watch someone get baptized. Do you realize in the last 9 years, we have baptized 56 people? Blows me away. Young and old, yeah, praise the Lord. Young and old, literally young people all through the years, men and women, all sorts of life experiences, every one of those people needs the people of God. Because getting in that tank, as I said two Sundays ago, is not the end of the journey. It's a declaration that I'm on this way and I need you. And there are people who we have baptized in the last season, in the last year, who need someone to come and lock arms with them, a mentor to go for coffee with them once a month and say to them, I'm praying for you. What's going on? What's going on in your life? And to share the journey together, or a huddle or a small group or a Bible study to help them learn how to make sense of this bizarre ancient book and what it means for us today. Or just to be a place, have the kind of relationships or the kind of environment where people can step in the door and encounter Jesus for the first time. So in their same groups, I'm gonna ask you to do something weird at first. I want you to say all your names again, okay? Because I know there's a bunch of circles here where you prayed with four people and you already forgot the person's name beside you. And that's totally fine, okay? It happens all the time. And it's not called a senior moment. It's just being human, okay? So I want us to pray for those among us who are here but don't yet know Jesus, and long to make sense of Jesus, that we would be a church where they would encounter Jesus, that pray for opportunities, pray for maybe new ideas for this coming year, that God would stir up more people to say, oh, maybe we'll do an alpha in our home and create a space to learn the basics and encounter Jesus here in a living room. Alpha is just a 10-week course on what Jesus is about, the gospel, for people who have questions and seeking. Or maybe, yeah, whatever, new ideas. I won't do a workshop right now and all that stuff. So, but let's pray for those things. Say your names again, okay? And then pray. You got 5 minutes, go. For people to encounter Jesus, for new Christians to learn the faith. If you're done, you can join me saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Love that little ding that happened at the end there. That was perfect. I feel like we could do what we did a minute ago, right? About praying for Living Edge. That we could look around this and say, there are people in the life of Lambrook who are praying this prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. And what they need is discipling. What they need is to know Jesus more. What they need is some brothers and sisters. They need to not be alone and to be unseen. They need the family of God. And so as we pray into these things, we're praying for God's provision, for what God wants to give to his people as we become a kingdom community. Right? When Jesus reigns, God's people open their hands to one another and say, Miriam, let's journey together. Sam, want to pray God's blessing on your marriage. Newlyweds, over there. I know it's at Christmas, but you're still newlyweds. But our hearts open up and we look at one another and we want blessing for the other and we want to share with others. We want to pray for others, not out of our perfection or our having all the answers, but our common need for Jesus and his grace toward us. Okay, third part. Daniel, come on up here. Paul says in Ephesians 6:18, pray also for me. I was reading 2 Thessalonians this morning. Popular book? No. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and Paul says there, pray also for me. And I love his humility. We talked about this. But I love that repeatedly we hear Paul recognizing that prayer matters, that he needs the support of others, and that his calling has influence on the health of the body of Christ. So we need to do this. So Daniel, thanks.
Good morning, family. So when Scott asked me to participate, I had a look back at what I last said in front of you, which was at our AGM in January. And I said that I was filled with encouragement and excitement for the new year. And I think that's still true. We're well into the year. And a lot's happened and changed in the last 4 months, even the last 1 month. But yeah, we remain encouraged and excited by what God's doing here. So it's been nearly a year since Scott had to take a leave of absence from his role at Lambrick. That was a big deal. And a lot of our attention as a board has been on responding well to that. So as I shared in January, part of that response is a staffing assessment by an outside consultant. And he brought a number of recommendations, but the major call was to invest in our staff and to consider growing our team. So a parallel there is in Luke 5, where Simon Peter's nets are so full of fish that they begin to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. I was brushing my teeth this morning, and the non-biblical reference is from Mrs. Doubtfire, Robin Williams. Help's on the way, dear. Help's on the way. So as a board, this has led us to the position that our lead pastor needs a pastoral leadership partner. So in March, the board opened the door to a pastoral hire, a need that is obviously a little bit more urgent following Therese stepping down as our director of ops. So we're still working that out with Scott to discern what the hire looks like, and so we want to invite you to pray with us. So would you pray that God would reign over this significant decision, that we would trust him with all aspects of it, seeking His will first and often. That God would continue to lead our church, our staff, elders, volunteers, members, missionaries, and be raising up new leaders. That God would continue to provide us with all that we need, and that we would be courageous in our response to His Spirit's leading. So, here we go.
Thanks, Daniel. I just want to highlight, before you pray these prayers, so praying for our leaders in this gap season, because there's some challenges. Our director of operations stepped away, concluded her role a week ago, and is now taking a great role with the CRD, and we're thrilled for Therese. We love Therese. We bless her. There's some big shoes there to be filled in the gap by some of us who have to kind of do extra, but also maybe others that are stepping in too, and then God's leading and discernment of the next chapter. But I just want to highlight, we just prayed for us as a whole body. I get uncomfortable when, as a church, we only pray for our leaders. God's kingdom and ministry is about the body of Christ. God has also given us leaders. So we need to pray for our elders. We got to pray for those that lead among us in different ways, including people like me. So go for it. Pray. Say your names again. What the heck? Why not? And pray for, you got 5 minutes, pray for our leaders during the transition and God's leading for our next people.
So as we wrap up, I'll just lead us again in this great prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen.
I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up, and we're going to sing. And singing together is prayer, right? It's one of the ways that we unite our voices in, really, corporate prayer. So if you need to swivel your chairs, go ahead and do it. I will not ask you to say your names to each other again, though you can. That could be the joke as you exit. As you exit, you say, my name's Lenine. My name is, your name, whatever your name is. My name is Scott. But let's stand together and we'll sing in unity.